Kia ora katoa, it's so good to be celebrating Christmas with all of you here, and it's going to continue on in Christmas Eve, which is a great time to bring somebody to church. And I just want to do a big shout out to all our Northies. It's so good to have you here. Go the Northies! Yeah. And our Nate and Kat here, I know Nate's here, he's at the back, and I'm not sure if Catherine's here, but they just got engaged. Give them a hand. Woo! So romantic. Oh yeah. And we are talking about joy to the world at Christmas. And it's so exciting. Christmas is meant to be a time of joy, and we know it is. The first Christmas was. They had the silent night, holy night, whole deal happening. But we do know that sometimes in the 21st century, it can get a little bit busy and stressy at Christmas, especially down here in the southern hemisphere, because it's not only Christmas, it's also the end of the school year and the start of the summer holidays. And, you know, in the northern hemisphere, Christmas features in wintertime, and they've got the snow like on the Christmas cards, and they can hide their weight gain under those ugly Christmas jerseys. So distasteful, those woolly jumpers with red and green and, you know, one Christmas pie too many. It looks better under a woolly jersey than in swimwear. We've had some bad wardrobe shrinkage in our house this year. It doesn't seem to affect the young people, it's just the older ones. But we've heard of the latest stat, haven't we, that women who gain weight usually live longer than the men who point it out to them. But anyway, in the northern hemisphere, it's snowy, but here it's summery and hot, and we swelter in our Santa suits. And everything pretty much shuts down for 3 weeks because it's Christmas and summer. And everyone, like Jared said, wants everything done by Christmas. The tradies know this. If it's a building reno, they want the job done before Christmas. If it's a new house, they want to move in by Christmas. And as soon as Christmas is over, we're packing up the next day. The trailer's loaded. We're going on holiday. So if we're not careful, Christmas can become a stressful time of year instead of a joyful time. And the reality is, at this time of year, sometimes it can get ugly. And we don't want it to. We need to guard against overloading ourselves and allow ourselves to celebrate the true joy of what Christmas is, God's gift of Himself to the human race. Now we're going to look at the first Christmas and what happens there, and I'm going to read about 6 verses to you, thereabouts, from Luke chapter 2, the Christmas story. We're going to pick it up in verse 4. They're going to the census in Bethlehem. Joseph went to Bethlehem to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them at the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, like homeless people living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Amen. He is Christ the Lord. This first Christmas was a time of great joy because God sent us salvation. And yes, I'm talking about baby Jesus, so cute, but also aka Almighty God, Creator and Savior of the world. I love what J. John says. He says, "Jesus did not come to make God's love possible. He came to make God's love visible." The Greek word chara is used here, and it is translated joy and delight. Throughout Luke's gospel, this word joy is associated with salvation. And this salvation is for everybody. And this news is good news. It's not a secret to be kept. It is to be proclaimed to all. And this good news will bring great joy. Today, we are the proclaimers. Even though we are not shepherds or angels, we still proclaim the arrival of Jesus, salvation on earth, to all of those around us every day. So a couple of questions for all of us. What are we proclaiming with our lives? Here's a personal question. Is your face proclaiming the arrival of Christ on earth? Or instead, Are you like doing your Christmas shopping at Kmart at 10:30 p.m. on Christmas Eve, white knuckling it, driving your trolley like the devil, thinking, get out of my way? Let's just take a deep breath and relax. And not worry if all our baubles are matching or not. Not worry if all the details are perfect or not. How about we let the joy rise up in us a little bit? And if we have some joy, how about we let our face know? How about we try for a higher score on our personal joyometer this year? Tell the person next to you, she's talking to you right now. So this word joy is used five times. Five times in the Christmas story alone, in both the Gospels of Luke and Matthew. Joy is a sign of a truly Spirit-filled life. It's one of the nine gifts or results of the Holy Spirit. So often we allow our joy to be severely restricted just because we have a problem in our lives or a bit of stress happening. And people say to you, have a Merry Christmas. And we're like, ha, ah. But we're thinking, how can I be merry when I've got him or her or this to deal with? Huh. And we can let a relationship problem or a difficult situation or a health or financial issue completely darken our perspective and in our minds wreck everything. It's like we're waiting for this perfect problem-free existence before we'll actually give ourselves permission to rejoice in the Lord, to have any joy in our lives. If there's one little cloud on the horizon of our picture-perfect blue sky day, then it's over. And we're like, bring out the umbrellas, the rain is coming, our day is ruined. And we can't even give ourselves permission to rejoice in God's salvation and all that Christmas is because there's this little fly in the ointment. Our silent holy night has a blemish on it. And my life is not picture perfect because there's this thing irritating me. And I can't let myself get excited about Jesus and all that Christmas means because I really have to focus on my problem and talk about it more and think about it more and give it more emotional energy because it's more important. And we can actually end up seeing Christmas as a childish distraction from the real problems and issues in life. But the reality is, it is the issue because at Christmas, Jesus came to save us, to help us, to bear our burdens. He's not a distraction from our issues. He's the answer to our issues. Problems will come, problems will go, but they don't have to affect our joy because our joy is found in Jesus. And don't let anyone take that away from you. He is the source of joy. It's like this. You're at home and you've got the Christmas carols on. You're decorating your tree, mixing your Christmas cake, you know, as you do. And it causes you to think as you sing along with the carols about how good God is intervening in your life by sending his son, Jesus, so we wouldn't have to burn in hell for our sins. And you start singing along and thanking God for who he is and what he's done. But then the enemy comes and tries to interrupt your train of thought. And he suggests things like this to you. Hey, remember, you have a problem. All is not well. And who do you think you are having a happy, clappy worship time? You need to be focusing on this problem. Come on, you should be worrying about how you can fix it. And thus he tries to steal our joy. He loves to focus on the negative and remind us of that. But we are not unaware of his devices. Just tell him to shut up and get a new trick. It's always the same old with the devil. Now is the time to stand up and say, I am going to worship the Lord. I'm going to thank him as long as I have breath left in my body. I'm going to give him praise for he has done great things for me. Amen. Let's not sit around waiting for a perfect problem-free life. It doesn't exist. Not in this planet. Jesus told us while we're in this world, we will have trouble. We just need to learn to praise God anyway. We need to learn to focus on the Lord. He is bigger than our trouble. He is bigger than all the problems in the world combined. Bring the problem to him. Why keep it? It's bigger than we are anyway. We can't fix it. Bring it to the burden bearer. Everyone has problems and challenges at times, some more than others, some are bigger than others. And I'm not trying to belittle anyone's pain here today. Some people are in real pain today. But what I am encouraging us to do is to run to Jesus in your pain, not from him. Run to the altar down here so people can stand with you and pray for you and bring the presence of God into your problem. Don't run out the back door to the toilets. When we were leading youth here for 10 years back in the 90s, often you'd see girls, instead of running to the front, they're running out the back to the toilets. And I'd say to them, God's not in the toilet, babe. Run to God, not from him. Run down here so we can pray for you and with you. Run to the altar. Let's run to the Lord, not from him. Don't bite the hand that feeds you. He's the one who can help us through it. When we choose Jesus as our focus above our problems, then we will encounter true joy. Let's stand this morning. You can put your device or your Bible down. Let's close our eyes. The verse I read out said, "Do not be afraid." The King James Version says, "Fear not." It's one of the key themes of the Christmas story. You know, the Lord is saying the same comforting words to us today, right now. Do not be afraid. But God, I've got this health condition. Do not be afraid. But God, I think I'm going to lose my job. Do not be afraid. But God, I don't think my wife loves me anymore. Do not be afraid. But Lord, my kids have gone off the rails. Do not be afraid. He is speaking those words into your spirit right now. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news, a great joy that will be for all the people. A Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. As God's people, we can live in security and in peace without fear, for we are of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We were born for such a time as this. These are days of unprecedented opportunity for the church of the living God. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. While we've got our eyes closed, I want you to put your hand up. If you know God is speaking that into your spirit, and you've got a situation that is generating fear in you, and the Lord is speaking, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. I want to include you in my prayer. If that's you, just put your hand up where you're sitting. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Let's pray. Father, right now I pray for the peace of God into all of these hearts and minds. Thank you that you sent us salvation. Thank you. Our source of joy is Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that your joy supersedes pain, problems, fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. Your love is perfect. We take authority over fear and bind it in Jesus' name. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love and power and sound mind. And just while we sing this beautiful worship song, I speak Jesus. If you want prayer for any of these things that are causing you fear, I want to invite you to come down. And we're not just going to be talking from the front today. We want to be standing with you, praying with you and for you into your situation. So you come now, if that's you, while we sing. Thanks. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Just while some people are being prayed for up the front, we always like to ask people. We don't know everybody. Is there anyone here who needs to surrender their life to Jesus? In just a moment, I'm going to pray a prayer. And if you want to hand over the control of your life into the hands of Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ, you can do that by praying this prayer. Because the Bible says, call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved. You don't have to be lost anymore. Today, you can be found. I was lost for the first 19 years of my life. I was so lost. I was drunk a lot of the time. Then I was party animal number one. But there were no answers there. Yet when I was by myself, I was lost. I was hopeless and afraid and depressed and alone. But Jesus came and found me. He wants to do that for you right here, right now. You don't have to jump through any hoops and try and be religious and try and do good stuff. You just invite him in and he cleans us up from the inside out. This is your day to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Don't put it off any longer. Why wait? Why try and get our act together ourselves? We never could. We can't. We need to get him to come in. And he cleanses us and cleans us up from the inside out. If that's you, now is your moment. Let's pray together. I'm going to pray a line. You can repeat it. And if you're praying this for the first time or the first time in a long time, pray it with all your heart. Here we go. Dear Jesus, I come to you a sinner. I thank you that you died for me when you shed your blood and died on the cross. Right now, I invite you into my life. To be my Lord and Savior, to be the boss of my life. Forgive me of all my sins. I renounce my old ways. I renounce the devil. I will follow you, Jesus, all the days of my life by your grace and strength. Thank you for loving me. Amen. Give him some praise. He is so good. He is so amazing. Now, if you just gave your heart to Jesus for the first time or the first time in a long time, tell the person who brought you. Come and tell me. Come and tell one of the leaders on the front row. Grab a Bible. There's some Bibles at the back. They're holding them up on your way out. And start reading near the back in one of the Gospels. A chapter a day keeps the devil away. Right now, we're going to sing a carol, then I'll hand back to Ricardo. God bless you.